Ever feel like just a normal night out could turn into like something straight out of the movies?
Yeah.
That's what we're getting into today.
Okay.
Like picture it, a chilly autumn evening in Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Oh, I love Dorchester.
GG Liquors is the spot. You know, buzzing with the after work crowd, maybe a few folks catching the game.
Right, right.
But then everything changes because it becomes like the backdrop for a serious, serious crime.
And this isn't like your, you know, run-of-the-mill petty theft kind of thing.
No.
We're talking about a case of armed assault with intent to murder. John Doe's our guy, caught in the middle of it all.
20 years.
Yeah, exactly. This is the kind of charge that carries some serious weight, you know?
Not a parking ticket, that's for sure.
No. We're talking about major implications here for everyone involved.
So how do we even start to break this down? Well, we've got the good surveillance footage from that night, eyewitness accounts, the whole nine yards. We're diving deep.
What I find super interesting about this whole thing is how it makes you question everything you think you know about memory, about perception, you know? It's like, how reliable are our senses, really? How much can we trust what we think we saw?
Exactly.
It's not always about some clear-cut smoking gun.
Right.
It's about how even facts, hard facts, can be, well, open to interpretation.
Okay, so let's rewind back to that night at GG Liquors. We actually got our hands on the surveillance footage.
Oh, wow.
And I gotta say, it's unsettling.
Really?
We see this figure dressed in dark clothes, face covered with what looks like a ski mask.
Oh, so you can't even see their face.
No, it's completely obscured.
Yeah.
And they just emerge from the shadows, heading straight for the liquor store entrance.
Okay, so they're not just like window shopping, they're on a mission.
Exactly. And here's where it gets even more intense.
Okay.
The footage captures a glint of metal under the streetlights, a firearm plain as day. And inside, you can see the clerk eyes wide with fear, frozen.
It's amazing how you can practically feel that fear even through a grainy security camera.
Right. You almost hold your breath watching it.
Totally.
And you can practically feel the whole energy in the store shift as everyone's realizing what's going down.
Mm.
It's unclear what happens next exactly, but the figure makes some gesture with the gun, like a demand or a threat. Hard to tell.
Yeah.
But it's enough.
Enough to what?
Enough to send people scrambling for cover, ducking for their lives. And then, just like that, they're gone.
Vanish.
Back into the night. Yeah. It's like something out of a movie, you know?
It sounds terrifying, honestly, just listening to you describe it. But you're right. It's like this footage, even though it's grainy, you've got this masked figure.
Right.
A weapon.
Right.
It's easy to see how this could be really damning.
For sure.
But there's got to be a catch, right?
Well, for as dramatic as the footage is, there's one glaring omission, and I think you already hit on it.
Let me guess. The mask.
You got it.
They never caught a glimpse of this person's face. So that's where these eyewitness accounts you were talking about, that's where they become absolutely critical.
Exactly.
But as we're going to find out, eyewitness testimony, well, it's not always as reliable as we might think.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, right? We're basically pinning a whole lot on the word of people who were there, caught in the moment.
It's really easy to think of our memories like, you know, they're these perfect recordings.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's way more complicated than that.
So if it's not like this perfect recording, how do we even begin to like wrap our heads around how memory actually works?
Okay. Think of it kind of like that game of telephone we used to play. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
One person whispers something.
And by the time it gets to the end, it's completely different.
You start with one thing. But by the time it travels through a bunch of people, it's totally morphed into something else.
And that's kind of what happens with our memories.
Kind of, yeah. You've got stress, time, even just our own, like, biases. It all gets mixed in, changes how we remember.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So how does this all play back to John Doe?
No.
We've got these eyewitness accounts, but now you're telling me they might not be as reliable as we initially thought.
Exactly. And that's where John Doe's defense attorney, Veronica J. White, that's where she really comes in.
Okay.
See, her whole strategy, it seemed like she was laser focused on this whole thing about memory being flawed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not as simple as just, oh, I saw it, it happened.
And to back that up, she brings in, what, like a memory expert or something?
Oh, she went all out.
Really?
Dr. Ayanna Thomas.
Oh, yeah?
This woman, she's like the leading expert when it comes to memory and how our brains work.
Wow.
Key witness for the defense. And that's when things went from just, you know, he said, she said, to this whole exploration of how our minds work, you know? Like, how do we even process and store information, especially during something crazy like a crime, you know?
So what did Dr. Thomas share with the jury Like, give us some examples. What are some things that can mess with our memories, especially when it comes to like trauma and stress and all that?
All right, so put yourself back in that liquor store.
Okay.
You see the mask, the gun, your heart's probably racing.
Oh, for sure.
That's adrenaline. And it makes sense.
Right.
It's your body's way of being like, whoa, danger, time to react.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When that happens, your brain's kind of freaking out too, and it can mess with how clearly you remember things.
Oh, wow. So it's like our brain's more focused on making sure we survive the situation than it is on like, you know, memorizing details for later.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's too busy trying to keep you alive to be bothered with taking notes. And get this. Dr. Thomas, she's done all this research on this thing called weapon focus. Mm. Basically, when there's a weapon involved, that's all your brain focuses on. It's like tunnel vision.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, if you're staring down the barrel of a gun, you're probably not thinking about the person's shoes or whatever.
Exactly. You're just trying to survive.
Right, right.
And then you add in the pressure of talking to the police.
Oh, yeah.
People want to help, right?
Right.
So they might try to fill in the blanks in their memory, even if they're not consciously aware they're doing it.
It's like our brains are almost creating these false memories without us even realizing it.
And then you throw in things like leading questions from investigators, and it gets even more complex. You know, the way you phrase a question can actually influence someone's memory of an event.
This is starting to feel like a true crime documentary. You know, you've got iffy eyewitness accounts, this masked figure on grainy security footage, and now a memory expert saying our brains can basically play tricks on us.
It's wild, right?
And where do we even go from here?
Well, this is where things get really interesting. See, the defense isn't just trying to poke holes in the prosecution side of the story. They're saying, hold on, there's another possibility here. What if John Doe is actually innocent?
And that's where I'm guessing those missing fingerprints come into play.
Yeah, you're catching on. Remember what we were talking about. Sometimes what the evidence doesn't show is just as important as what it does show. And in this case, the fact that they couldn't find John Doe's fingerprints at the scene, that becomes a major part of his defense.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We can't definitively put him at the scene because the eyewitness accounts are kind of shaky.
Right.
And the footage doesn't show his face. But now you're telling me there's no physical proof he was even there.
No fingerprints.
Wow.
And remember, in our justice system, it's the prosecution's job to prove their case.
Right.
They have to convince a jury that John Doe did it without a shadow of a doubt. And with each piece of evidence that's missing or doesn't quite add up, that doubt starts to creep in.
It's like they're trying to build a case, but the foundation keeps crumbling beneath them.
Love that analogy. And these missing fingerprints, that's a big chunk of that foundation gone. It's one thing to say, well, maybe a witness got confused, but it's a whole other thing to explain away why there's zero physical evidence tying John Doe to the crime.
It really makes you wonder about the importance of, like, forensic evidence.
Oh, huge.
Like, if they'd found his fingerprints, it's a completely different conversation.
Night and day. And this just goes to show how crucial these forensic experts are. Like Richard Shire, the fingerprint analyst for this case.
Right.
What they do, it can either back up the evidence or, like we're seeing here, it can throw a whole wrench in the works and change everything.
So we got the prosecution's case kind of falling apart, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Defense is poking holes in it left and right.
Yeah.
It's got to be down to the wire in the courtroom.
Absolutely.
Jury's the deciding factor.
Yeah.
You're sitting there. You've heard it all days of this. You've seen the evidence. You've heard from everybody. What's going through your mind?
Talk about pressure.
No kidding. What was it like in the courtroom when the jury came back?
You could hear a pin drop. Seriously. Oh. All eyes on them, waiting for the verdict. Hours of deliberation, they come back in.
Oh, man.
And it's like, nobody's giving anything away, you know?
Right, right.
And then the foreperson reads it out. Not guilty.
Wow.
Acquitted on all charges. John Doe walks free.
I bet that was a moment.
Oh, absolutely. Huge relief for him and Veronica White. I mean, think about it. This wasn't just about staying out of prison.
Right.
This was about clearing his name, you know? And it just shows you, in our system, you're innocent until proven guilty.
That's where that whole beyond a reasonable doubt thing comes in.
Exactly. The defense, they don't have to prove a thing.
Right, right, right.
They just have to make the jury doubt the other side's story.
Which, in this case, seems like that's exactly what they did.
And and they did it well. This whole case really makes you think, like, what do we really know?
Exactly.
About truth, about justice. We want easy answers, but sometimes
it's way more complicated.
Way more complicated. It makes you second guess everything.
For sure. Even our own memories.
Exactly. That's what I love about this case. And ones like it, you know, it's a huge reminder.
Right.
Eyewitness testimony, it can be wrong.
Totally.
Forensic evidence isn't always clear cut.
And sometimes that missing piece, it's the key to the whole thing.
Exactly.
It makes you wonder, if you were on that jury, what would you have done?
Tough call, right?
Call. And that's a wrap on another deep dive. We went deep into John Doe's case, looked at eyewitness testimony, how our memories can play tricks on us, how important that forensic evidence is or isn't.
Right.
Just goes to show you justice, well, it's rarely simple. And sometimes you end up with even more questions than answers. But hey, that's what makes it all so fascinating, right?
For sure.
We'll keep asking those questions, keep exploring these stories with you all. Thanks for joining us on another deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
The names and certain details in this podcast have been changed to protect the privacy of the individuals involved. While the cases presented are based upon real events, certain facts may have been altered or omitted for confidentiality purposes. Each case is inspired by real legal cases defended by White & Associates PC. This podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. It should not be construed as legal advice. Any resemblance to real persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. White & Associates PC does not endorse or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information discussed in this episode.